Welcome to another family Bible study. We've been in Jeremiah for some time now, in the first opening chapters of Jeremiah, and we're learning, of course, that Jeremiah is in harmony with many, many, many other passages of the Bible. That doesn't surprise us because the Bible is one piece. It is one word that God has given to the human race. And now, today, we're going to continue with Jeremiah 4. All right, let's go on to verse 31. For I have heard a voice as of a woman in travail, and the anguish of her that bringeth forth her first child. Now, this is language, again, that we have looked at repeatedly. It's the language of final judgment. Judgment day has come. And God is using that figure. Every place we find that, it has to do with the nature of judgment. And it is one of the best illustrations in the Bible of the certainty of judgment day coming, the anguish of judgment day, and the fact we know it's there, and yet we can't determine the precise time. We just know it's going to come. We can get pretty close, but we can't. The woman does not know the exact hour when that baby is going to be born. Well, so going back to Jeremiah 4, verse 31, I have heard a voice as a woman in travail, the anguish of her that bringeth forth her first child, the voice of the daughter of Zion that bewaileth herself and spreadeth her hands. That phrase, spreadeth her hands, is a curious phrase. It is used in a number of places, and it really is talking about appealing to God, to asking God, or entreating God. Oh God, is it possible that this might change? Can there be a limitation on this? It is language that's used in a number of places. For example, back in Exodus, when the hail was falling on Egypt to destroy it, Moses spread his hands, and then God stopped the hail. It was an entreaty to God to stop the hail. When Solomon was dedicating the temple, he spread his hands to God, asking for God's blessing. It is a figure of speech of entreaty, of begging God for his blessing, or for his will, that it might be done. Well, here is Zion spreading her hands. Now, go back to, and incidentally, even God uses that language. I want to speak about that a moment before we get deeper into this. If you look at Isaiah chapter 65, verse 2, very curiously, God even uses that language as he addresses mankind in Isaiah 65, verse 2. He says there, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts, a people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of bricks, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessels. In other words, God is indicating his entreaty of mankind to turn to him. Even though God has commanded us to do this, even though God's wrath is upon us, yet in God's patience, in God's compassion, in God's long-suffering, he uses language of entreaty. I have asked you to do this, and it reminds us of Jesus when he wept over Jerusalem, and he said, how often I would have gathered you as a hen would gather her chicks. We must never think of God as a vicious God who just delights in bringing judgment. True, true. We read in Isaiah 13, when we were back there at one time, we read that God comes as a cruel God, finally, and there is no repentance, there is no salvation any longer. When Christ comes and it's the end of the time of salvation, then God uses the language of a cruel God, because there is no more patience, no more salvation, no more possibility of turning to God. God's timetable has come to an end. But until that time comes, and that time isn't here yet, it's going to be here at Judgment Day, but we're not at that final Judgment Day. If we were, well, we wouldn't finish this day at all. This day would transition right into eternity. And right now, we would be seeing Christ coming on the clouds of glory. And we would see all the graves open and everybody being resurrected. No, we're not there. And until we're there, God is a God of patience. God is a God of love. God is a God of mercy. His mercy is still possible. And so he spreads out his hands to us, as we read in Isaiah 65, verse 2. And he is spreading out his hands. He's entreating a people that provokes me to anger continually to my face. Talk about language of mercy. Talk about language of going the second mile. Talk about language of God not wanting to bring destruction. They provoke me continually. They're in rebellion every time I turn around, and yet I spread out my hands. That is, I am entreating them, why don't you turn to me? Jesus wept, and that over the city that is in rebellion. Well, however, here in Jeremiah 4, let's return to that now. In Jeremiah 4, God is not talking about God spreading out his hands. He's talking about a mankind who are now under the judgment of God prior to the final judgment, and yet transitioning to the final judgment. Already God's commitment has been made insofar as the churches and congregations. God's judgment is upon them. And even though it's not the final judgment, it's going to transition to that. It's already been predetermined that this will never change. But yet the wonderful thing is, outside of the churches, there still is mercy. God has not made a full end of his mercy, but it's going on outside of the churches. We have to see objectively, we have to see the whole perspective. Otherwise, we get this language confused. Otherwise, we begin to misunderstand. How can he speak so in such destructive ways in one sense, and yet at the same time emphasize his mercy on the other hand? Well, here he is saying that the daughter of Zion bewaileth herself and spreadeth her hands. Now, this language is developed in Lamentations chapter 1. Go back just a few pages to the next book of the Bible, which is that little book of Lamentations. And Lamentations is speaking exactly about the same things that we're reading about in Jeremiah in these chapters. It is a lament written by by Jeremiah at the time that the last good king over Judah was killed, and that was Josiah. And it is a lament that is developing the story of God's wrath upon the churches and congregations. And so we read in verse 15. Let's begin with verse 14. No, let's begin with verse 15. Lamentations chapter 1. The Lord hath trodden underfoot all my mighty men in the midst of me. He hath called an assembly against me. You see, Jeremiah is writing as if he is the local congregation. He is speaking for the external representation of the kingdom of God and as if it were a person. And this is being, God is destroying that congregation. And it is a painful, painful thing. The Lord hath trodden underfoot all my mighty men in the midst of me. He hath called an assembly against me to crush my young men. Remember, in the historical setting, it was Babylon that had come against Judah to destroy it. In our day, it is the kingdom of Satan that has entered into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, has entered into the churches and congregations. And Satan is up to no good. He's there to destroy. He's not to build up. He is the very essence of destruction. And God has brought this as a judgment. He hath called an assembly against me to crush my young men. The Lord hath trodden the virgin, the daughter of Judah, as in a wine press. And the language of a wine press is the language of judgment. Remember, in the New Testament, we have read passages where it's talking about the wine press of the wrath of God, and it is this that is happening. It's the wrath of God coming against the churches and congregations, the local congregations, the local churches, because the judgment of God is upon them. For these things I weep. Now, look back again at Jeremiah 4. Remember, it says, the voice of the daughter of Zion that bewaileth herself. That is, it's the parallel language. She is weeping. She is weeping. Jeremiah 4, verse 31. She is weeping as she spreads out her hands. And here in Lamentations chapter 1, for these things I weep. Mine eye runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. And who is the comforter that should relieve the soul? The only comforter is the Lord Jesus Christ. But he is far from me. He is gone. He's no longer in the congregation. We're under the wrath of God. The time has come when God's judgment is beginning in the house of God. My soul is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. And who is the enemy? Who has been trying to get at the believers all through the church age? Satan has been trying. He's been attacking. He's coming as a roaring lion. He's trying to intimidate. He's trying to do everything in order to gain victory over Christ. He never made it. The churches have been protected because Satan has been bound so that he could not come into those churches and take that word away as it is being proclaimed away from the hearts of those who are listening. God has a plan to save. The Holy Spirit was there to apply that word. But now the enemy has prevailed, and he's prevailed because God has loosed him. God has loosed him from the pit so that now he has access into the churches. And now the word of God is no longer finding any fruit in the lives of those who are hearing. The Holy Spirit has absented himself, and Satan is the winner. Satan, the enemy, has prevailed. This parallels again. Just hold your finger there a second and just remind us again of Revelation 13, verse 7. Revelation 13, verse 7. As it's talking about Satan coming into the churches, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. What terrible language, to make war. The saints, they are in the holy place, the churches and the local churches that God has established throughout the church age. But now Satan has overcome them. He is the winner. The true believers are driven out. Those who are left are commanded to come out because God says that's not for you anymore. The abomination of desolation is there. And therefore you are to flee to the mountains, go to Christ and get out of there. Come out of Babylon. The church has become Babylon because Satan, the king of Babylon, is now ruling there. Come out of Babylon that you might be caught in its plagues. And so we see the same language here that the enemy has prevailed. And then notice verse 17 and how it parallels Jeremiah 4, verse 31. We read, Zion spreadeth forth her hands. That is, Zion is, as it were, pleading with God, begging God, does this have to be? And there is none to comfort her. None to comfort her. There is no answer. What did we read in Jeremiah 4, verse 28? For this shall the earth mourn, and the heaven above be black, because I have spoken it, I have purposed it, and will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. We can cry, we can weep, we can plead with God. Oh, Lord, is it possible that our congregation might be spared this awful thing? Aren't we trying so hard to be faithful to the Word of God? Can it be that we still can be maintained as a church the way Thou hast established it throughout the New Testament era? And God says, no. No, there'll be not one stone left upon another. The living stones in the temple will all be cast down. They're all going to be the churches have come to an end. Judgment has come there. And so listen to me. Listen to me. Don't plead with me for this. There's no value in that. You're not going to receive any comfort. Listen to what I have declared. And God has set it forth very plainly in the language. As we look at so much of this language, we see it repeated again and again. And so Zion, Lamentations 1, verse 17, Zion spreadeth forth her hands. There is none to comfort her. The Lord hath commanded concerning Jacob that his adversary should be round about him. Jerusalem is a menstruous woman among them. Ah, now you see again, it's a repetition of what we have been reading. God has commanded this, that the adversaries surround the churches, and that is that Satan comes in to overtake the churches and to rule there, because Zion is a menstruous woman, and that's one a woman who is ceremonially unclean and cannot come into the temple. The church no longer is looked upon by God as a representative of the kingdom of God. It has become a menstruous woman. It has become an unclean woman. That's a parallel language. It has become a harlot. It is someone who is in rebellion against God. And so, again, we can read this language in Isaiah chapter 1. There's an interesting usage of the spreading out of hands. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15. There we read, when you... again, it's talking about the same subject. The setting is identical. He says in verse 14 of Isaiah 1, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble to me. I am weary to bear them. He is talking about the fact that they are putting their trust in keeping the law, following what the law says, and not putting their trust in the Lord Jesus. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide my face from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. You see the parallel language. God repeats it again and again and again. Nobody can argue, well, God didn't tell us. I admit that throughout the church age, we have read these passages and we have not understood them. They have been too complicated. We didn't understand the mixture of the latter rain, that there's still not to be a full end, that there would still be mercy, and yet at the same time, God is bringing judgment. We couldn't put all that together. All we just saw was just that there's great tribulation that is coming. But the fact is, now we're living in that time when God has opened our eyes to these truths, and we can put every verse increasingly put every verse into its proper place. We can put it into perspective, and what do we find? We find the same message, the same message. We're looking in Isaiah 1. We're looking in Jeremiah 4. We're looking in Lamentations chapter 1. We look in Revelation 13, and we find the same message, and we can put it in its proper slot, in its proper place, in the whole divine economy of God. And that's because, not because we're so smart, of course not. It's because we've come to that time when God is finally opening up His revelation. He's finally opening up His revelation. And so we have come right to the end. We have one more phrase: woe is me now, for my soul is weary because of murderers, because of murderers. And we don't have time to really develop this, but I might say this much about it, that the word murderer is an unfortunate translation. It really is a word that means, my soul is weary of those who kill, those who kill. They are coming, not as murderers, but, well, in a sense they are. But it's really talking again about the enemy of God coming to destroy the church. Well, so we've completed Jeremiah chapter 4, and how terrible it is what we have learned. When we go on, is it going to get easier? And I'm afraid not. We're just going to read more of the same. But it's the Word of God, so we have to read it. We have to read it. We can't overlook it. We have to study it, just as much as we have to study John 3:16.